Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, it's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. It's good to be able to come back into your homes once again, just to reach in the world for Christ and lifting up the name of Jesus. So if you'd like to be a part of this service, why, go ahead and call in on 310-742-1759, and we'll put you right on the line with us, sir. That's 310-742-1759. So we'll just all worship the Lord and Spirit and truth together and just have a great time in the Lord. So go ahead and call in on 310-742-1759. So we'll put you on line with us. So we've got a call in here, 706. Come in and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Brother and Sister Yearwood, it's Frieda Litchfield in Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise the Lord, sister. Glad you called in there. So just go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Okay, can I turn in some prayer requests first?
Yeah.
I know one of our members is her grandson. They got a virus that's going around that's for about 72 hours, and he's been sick today. And his grandmother, she's okay, but she's been around with him. So let's keep them in prayer. And I got another friend that she's been having some problems this weekend, first part of this week too. Keep her in prayer. Her name is Gracie Page, Alex, and Robin Gresham. So let's remember those three I know of right now. Okay. I know our scripture is coming from Proverbs 23:10, but I felt led to go somewhere else. So I'm going to start out, I think it's Psalm 72, and I'm going to start with verse 3. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. Verse 4, he shall judge the poor of the people, he shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. And then I'm going to go to Isaiah first chapter, and I'm going to start with verse 16. Wash ye, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from thine eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it.
Let's see what else I got.
Then I'm going to Isaiah 58. Verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasures, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high place of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You know, we have to, and I've been having some issues with people saying they're going to do one thing and not do it. So I said, Lord, I'm not going to let these people bring me down. I said, I'm going to turn these all over to you. And, you know, when we turn over things to the Lord, he knows the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And once he takes care of the situation, these people, they feel like, I've got to do what I'm supposed to do. Most of the time it's right. But when we get in there and try to say, I'm going to do it this way or that way, you know, it causes a lot of problems, a lot of chaos. And then, but the Lord knows it. When we turn it over to the Lord brings it to pass. And so, but you know, a lot of people don't see it that way. They think it's supposed to be done that way. I was talking to some friends today, and there was a officer that got shot 5 times for trying to break up a fight, and it killed him. But you know, the worm is getting so bad that the devil thinks he's got his. But the Lord's children, all we got to do is take a stand. And once we take a stand for the Lord, the Lord uses us as a vessel to do what he wants to do. And people don't understand this. They can't. They say, I got to do it myself. No, you don't. You cause more problems when you do it yourself. Turn it over to the Lord, lay it down at the altar, and let the Lord take control. But I praise the Lord. He has been a blessing. And I want to give a praise report. I got paid last week, and you know, the Lord always, he gives us understanding. All my bills for the month of June have been paid. I've got everything has been taken care of. When we take care of what the Lord wants us to do, he'll take care of his people.
Yes, ma'am.
Back to you.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful word there, sister. That's good. 423, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
All right, I guess you're talking to me. This is Sister Ann Hagen in Sweetwater, Tennessee.
Yeah, praise the Lord, Sister Ann.
And I've been listening. I haven't got a chance to call in. It seems like it's been such a hectic time for all of us around here, but God is still God, and I enjoyed the sharing of the word then. And we know that we are in the last days. Apostasy is everywhere. And man professing God, not all know the Lord thy God. They profess from their mouth, but their heart is far from him. And the Bible says we are to grow, pray for inner growth. And this morning, and with the Lord, I went to Ephesians chapter 3, which says pray for that inner growth. You know, this outward man, brother, is going to perish. But that inner growth and that strength and the power from the Holy Spirit will keep us. And we do not have to fear what's going on in this world, what's going on in the White House, no place except we have the fear and the reverence of the Lord, that I will trust the Lord. I will never be ashamed. I will stand for the word and on the Lord's word, and I will not be destroyed. We might get shaken, but praise God, when the power of the Lord is in with us and we belong to him, he will deliver us in due season. So we don't have to fear all these things that's coming up on the world. It's biblical. The Bible says all these things are going to happen. So we've got to know in whom we trust, and we're not to be easily shaken by all these reports. I get reports bad all the time. But let me tell you, I have made up my mind. I am determined. I will follow Jesus. I will never deny my Lord. And no matter what happens in the church body, out of the church body, we've got a world out there that's dying lost. And people are fighting inside the four walls about what the carpet is or who's going to preach and who's going to sing. But let me tell you, when God calls and anoints you, if you trust the Lord, it may not come when you want it, but God's always on time. He'll open doors no man can shut, and he will take us and use us. It's in the small things, if we're faithful, in the nursing homes, in the street, feed the poor, clothe the naked. If we're faithful to love people and speak the truth in love, not to mash them down or send them to hell, but to draw them in. People are pushing them right into the fire of hell instead of saying, you're walking wrong, I love you, I want you to know the God that delivered me. He will deliver you too. And we got to have that inner growth. We got to have a teachable spirit. I have never seen a generation that is so unteachable. They know it all. They're unteachable. The pastor don't even know the word part of them. But the ones that do, the flock is trying to control or the pastor want. And when they let the Holy Spirit, God himself in control, we'll have revival in the land. That's all I'm going to say. Praise the Lord. I'm really proud and happy that you're reaching out, giving people an opportunity to testify and share what's in their heart. If it's the Lord and lifting up Jesus, then he'll be glorified.
Amen. That's for sure. Yeah, we're speaking today on Proverbs 23:9 through 11 there, and it's.
I didn't really get a chance to study over there, but I know where you're talking about the old landmark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, but it's talking about, you know, the Lord doesn't change, does he?
No, he don't.
And the way of the Lord doesn't change.
Amen.
No matter what progress brings into the society or into the church body, the Lord remains the same. He says, I'm the Lord thy God, and I changeth not. People change.
Amen.
But I said, one thing about it, when troubles come, either you're going to get bitter or you're going to get better. You're going to trust the Lord and you're going to stand, and you're going to trust the Lord that he's going to take you through, and you're going to hold to the truth of God's word, the Old and the New Testament, rightly divide it. He didn't say take anything out. As a matter of fact, in Revelation, he says, if you take out of the book of this book, your name will be taken out of the book of life. That book of life means when we stand before God and we say, I'll take this part, but I don't want this part, then we're picking and choosing what we're going to believe and what we're going to live. None of us have made it. We're not perfect yet. But if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to cut out, purge us, and follow the old landmark, the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore, we've got to know that he didn't change. He's not going to change his word for nobody. The rich, the poor, the red, yellow, black, white. The word is the truth, and that's what we got to stand on. 200 years ago, and if there's another 100 years, I don't believe there will be, brother. I believe the Lord's coming soon.
Amen. I do, too.
So you go ahead and read, and I'll just listen. Okay? God bless you all out there.
Okay. God bless you. 770, you come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
It's Robin Gresham.
Praise the Lord, Sister Robin. Just go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Well, the more I thought about this, it led me to Job chapter 24. Why, seeing the times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? Some remove the landmarks. They violently take away flocks and feed thereof. They drive away the ass of the fatherless. They take the widow's ox for a pledge. They turn the needy out of the way. The poor of the earth hide themselves together. Behold, as wild asses in the desert go they forth to their work, rising betimes for prey. The wilderness yielded food for them and for their children. They reap every one his corn in the field, and they gather the vintage of the wicked. They cause the naked to lodge without clothing, that they have no covering in the cold. They are wet with the showers of the mountains and embrace the rock. For want of a shelter, they pluck the fatherless from the breast and take a pledge of the poor. They cause him to go naked without clothing, and they take away the sheep from the hungry, which make oil within their walls and tread their wine presses and suffer thirst. Men groan from out of the city, and the soul of the wounded cries out, yet God layeth not folly to them. They are those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. Now, God, what God was talking to me about, these are people that just turned away from God altogether.
Amen.
Just like in Moses' day. Although they wandered around in the desert the 40 years in the wilderness, not all of them made it into the promised land. There are people back then, as they are today, they are unbelievers, and they just don't care. And I'm saying to these people out there right now, we have a God. God
Amen.
Loves you. He created you. He created you in his image to do his work and to do his will. And that's what God gave me tonight.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful word there, sister. 937, come in and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Yeah, Brother Yearwood, it's Brother and Sister Green from Springboro, Ohio.
Praise the Lord. Glad you called in there. We let Tim sing a song, then we'll get you in there to obey the Lord.
Praise God. Amen. Okay.
water. I've sailed a lot of seas, searching for one that would bring lasting peace. Those worldly new ways only brought a bitter flood, but I found what I needed when I saw the blood. I'll take the old stream that flows from the mountain, sweet Calvary's fountain that makes sinners clean. Tried and tested, it's been faithful, never failing to redeem. You can have the new rivers, I'll take the old stream. Today's modern thinkers do not want to hear about the shed blood of our Savior so dear. The flow's been denied in their teachings today, but I'm not ashamed to say it, the blood's the only way. I'll take the old stream that flows from the mountain, sweet Calvary's fountain that makes sinners clean. Tried and tested, it's been faithful, never failing to redeem. You can have the new rivers, I'll take the old stream. Tried and tested, it's been faithful, never failing to redeem. You can have the new rivers, I'll take the old stream.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that song there. So, Sister Green, you're in. Brother Green, just go ahead and obey the Lord.
Okay, Brother Yearwood, we're right here. I think she's going to go first here.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Man.
So tonight's subject, we are honored that we get to be on this live broadcast with you, Brother Yearwood, and just thank the Lord for you and Sister Betty and Brother Timothy, how the Lord used you all to show us this here broadcast. And we have ours on Friday night at 10 Eastern Time, the Macedonian Call. And the subject tonight is on landmarks, praise God. And I was thinking in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 14 says, "Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it." Praise God. We've got an inheritance. Praise the Lord. And you know, when Jesus Christ died up on that cross and we accept that and we ask forgiveness of our sins and he's to no longer remember them and they're forgotten. Praise God. And then, you know, as we get, when we're born again, we start out as a little babe in this, and we start to let the Lord deal with us and things of our life, things that we don't do anymore, places we don't go anymore, things we don't say anymore. And, you know, the sinner folk out there, you know, on your job, maybe your family, they may not understand that that's not your neighbor. Your neighbor, Jesus, there was a lawyer that stood up and said, "Who is my neighbor?" See, he was trying to catch Jesus at his words. And Jesus gave him the parable of the Good Samaritan, how the Levite and the priest walked past the one that was left wounded. And here come the Good Samaritan, and he helped the one that was wounded. And so that is your neighbor. Jesus said, then which one would be the neighbor? Of course, it's the one that had helped you. So your brothers, your sisters in the Lord, praise God, is your neighbor. And the Bible goes, it says, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark. So now we establish who is our neighbor. Praise God. And like I said, when we get saved and God begins to increase things in our life, and there was a man in the Bible, I believe it was Peter, said, I must decrease, John. I must decrease for the Lord to increase in me. Praise God.
Amen.
And I'm talking about Joanna Green, Brother Yearwood, Sister Betty. When we got saved, we had to decrease the things that we loved in this old world. There was things we gave up. Praise God. And I can just give you some examples of my own personal convictions that the Lord dealt with me about. Just Joanna Green. One of them was I saw Brother Hicks and Sister Hicks, you all know him, Brother Yearwood, coming in the Kmart, coming down the aisle, and I was shopping with my kids, and I had recently been saved. And I remembered that I had this nice, I was a manager of a salon, and I had just bought this nice outfit I thought was nice. And I remember it had a nice suit jacket with it. It had it wasn't dress pants, but it was dress shorts. And the shorts were to my knees. And I remembered that they folded up at the bottom and they had creased down the side. They were kind of a plaid material. And to me, it was really pretty. And like I said, I bought that before I got saved. So I was wearing this because I had just got off of work and I was in Kmart. And here come Brother and Sister Hicks. And I remembered as they're coming down the aisle, I can see them from afar off. And I remembered jumping behind the cart because I didn't want Sister Fran or Brother Bill to see me in those shorts. It just instantly came to me that I'm in shorts. And every time you saw Sister Fran, you saw her in a dress. Now, this ain't for everybody I know. We're talking about landmarks here. And I was a brand new Christian. Praise God. And as they got closer to my cart and they began to talk to me and say hello, I remember as they got closer, I kept walking around the cart. As they walked around the cart because they were passing me, I walked all the way to the back of the cart so they wouldn't see what I was wearing. And, you know, it dawned on me, Brother Yearwood, if I care how they think of what I look like, what is God thinking of me is what I thought. Praise God. And I made you can say an oath or a promise or however with the Lord. And I said, Lord, I will never wear these again. I will always wear a skirt or a dress. And that was my own personal conviction, Brother Yearwood. And, you know, they make fun of me at work. They say things to me and my family. They don't understand. And I don't expect them to understand. Like the sis was saying right before me, not Sister Robin, but the other sis from Tennessee there, was saying how people just, they need to be saved, and we don't need to battle them, or we don't need to hinder them. We don't need to be a stumbling block to the sinner.
Yeah. Man.
We need to be a light to them and love them and tell them, this is a good way. I tell you, I don't regret not one day that I have served God. I don't regret one bit of it. He has always been there for me. He's been there on time. And I told the Lord, I said, if you want me to preach a word, God, I will do anything you want me to do. I'll lay it down, whatever you want me to lay down. And, you know, maybe he had me to lay down the pants because I thought about this for years. You know, I didn't drink. I didn't do drugs. I didn't cuss. People in my family called me a goody-goody even before I got saved. But you know what? I believe God expected something of me, and I believe that's what I was feeling back then. What would I do, praise God? I would not give anything for this world in exchange for my soul. And if he told me to lay something down, I'll not dare pick it back up. But you know, my brothers and sisters in the Lord have ridiculed me over this and questioned me over this. And you know, if it was wrong back in the day when it says something about even in the New Testament, if your brother or your sister, if they don't eat pork, well, and they invite me over for dinner and they tell me to bring a dish, I'm not going to bring pork to their house. It would offend them. Praise God. So don't remove the landmarks of your neighbor. Praise God. And I had more scripture here, Deuteronomy 27 and 17. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all
amen.
The people shall say amen.
Amen.
And I also had the scriptures that Sister, I believe it was Sister Frida, maybe Sister Robin might have talked about Job 24. One of them did. People knocking at the door. That's why I was kind of interrupted on following what was going on, but on the broadcast. But, you know, the Bible talks about why seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty. Do they that know him not see his days? Some remove the landmarks. They violently take away flocks and feed thereof. They drive away the donkeys of the fatherless. They take the widow's oxes for a pledge. They turn the needy out of the way. The poor of the earth hide themselves together. Behold, as wild donkeys in the desert, go they forth to their work, rising betimes for a prey. The wilderness yieldeth food for them and for their children. They reap every one his corn in the field, and they gather the vintage of the wicked. They cause the naked to lodge without clothing, that they have no covering in the cold. They are wet with the showers of the mountains and embrace the rock for want of a shelter. And I was thinking, Brother Yearwood, there, I believe it was Joshua, as they crossed over, I believe it was Jordan. It's been a while since I read it. And they took stones. He said, take stones from every tribe. Take 12 stones as a memorial for your children. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, to me, that's a landmark. That is, we're making landmarks for our children as a memorial. The way we live our life, our children see, mom and dad don't cuss. We're different. They go around their friends. A lot of them have to go to school, and their parents pick the kids up from school, and the kids that are grown up in a Christian home can see a difference in their parents versus the parents of the children that they go to school with. They see there's a difference. That's because we're setting up landmarks. We have to show our children and train them in the way they should go, that when they grow old, they won't, that they will return, that they'll stay with it. Praise God. That we must show a difference. You know, when God called the Jews, praise God, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and at Jacob when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, he saw, praise God, he saw a glimpse, I believe, of heaven. When he was with that angel, I believe it was a born-again experience for him. Though Christ hadn't came yet, praise God, it was a change in his life. He went from being Jacob, the deceiver, praise God, he deceived Esau, to Israel, praise the Lord. And when you and I get saved, praise the Lord, there's a change that takes place in our life, and we get a new name. There should be a change in our walk with God. There was a change in Jacob's walk. He had to lean, praise God, when he walked. He had to lean upon the Lord. And when you and I get saved, we've got to lean in our step. And that should be
amen.
Because we don't walk for our own ability. We walk because we know that we're leaning on God. Hallelujah. And our children must see that. The world must see that. They must say, what is this that they have? Why are they go through horrible things, and they're still smiling upon their face. Praise God. Let's not remove our neighbor's landmark. Praise God. Let's not
Amen.
Offend our brother and sister. Hallelujah. Let's be the good Samaritan that helps. Let's visit the widow. Let's feed the poor. Jesus said, you've done to these, you've done to me. You've done unto the least, you've done this unto me. Praise God. Let's be a help. I praise God. I praise God. You know, the old enemy, he would love to take our landmarks. And he, you know, God has given us a field. Ruth had a field to glean in, to gather sheep. Praise the Lord. And her basket was full. When we get born again, God gives us a field. Hallelujah. And God, we got a zeal for the Lord. When we remember when you first got saved, how zealous you were. You wanted to go out and tell the whole world, guess what I found? Praise the Lord, I found Jesus. And then as the devil uses people to discourage and to knock down and beat down and to take this and none effect, and then we begin to see that the world doesn't want this. and in our landmarks. See, our vision is without a vision, my people perish, he said. And when we first get saved, we're so innocent. And we want to go and we want to save the world. But the devil, he creeps in and he tries to discourage and beat down and say, you're not praying enough, you're not doing enough. And our landmarks begin to close in closer and closer. And then our vision gets real narrow. And it gets like we don't remember that big field that we once dreamed about, thousands of getting saved. I used to dream about and have a vision, Brother Yearwood, that when I got the power of the Holy Ghost, when I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I was going to go into the hospitals and I was going to walk down the hallway of the hospitals, and I was just going to wave my hand over the doors of them that were sick, and they were going to come up out of their beds healed. You know, that's how much faith that I have. Praise God. And you know that day is coming. I believe that day is coming when, praise God, this insurance stuff going on in our country, and, you know, some of us don't have insurance, and some of us are being oppressed by the government because they can't get insurance, so they put some kind of a tax on you. Praise the Lord. And, you know, we're going to have to depend on God for our insurance, for our healing. Hallelujah. Don't remove your neighbor's landmark. Hallelujah. If the women want to wear their hair long, let them wear their hair long. Praise God. If they don't want to wear makeup, don't make them wear makeup. Don't put them down for not wearing it. They just want to be a light. And I know that's just an outward look. I understand that. I understand that more than anybody. And I don't preach it. I don't preach my convictions on other people. But I'm just telling you what I give up for God. Praise the Lord. If your brother or your sister give up something for God, don't ridicule them. Don't make them feel bad if you're a brother and sister in the Lord. Encourage them. Encourage them. Praise God. God is good. Thank you, Brother Yearwood. And I'm going to turn it to Brother Green.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. It's good to be here. It's good to be on the broadcast tonight. I know this broadcast goes into all the world. And we're preaching tonight. I don't know how many countries are receiving it. Probably pretty near all countries in the world. But, you know, we preach the gospel. That's what we preach. And, you know, we preach the death and the burial, the resurrection of Christ. And we preach him to be the Savior of the world. And, you know, when you go back into the Old Testament, what the prophets had to say, you see that there was they were always pointing to somebody that was to come. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, the Bible tells us that he said to remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. You know, our fathers that went before us, they preached Christ and him crucified. And I'll tell you what, that's a landmark that we better take account of. You know, when they talk about the old rugged cross and us going to that cross and kneeling, you know, we can still go to the cross today. You know, it's not on Mount Calvary today, but it's where you make your altar. It's where you'll get in contact with God. And I tell you, we need to keep altars in our churches. We need to keep altars in our homes, praise God, so we can go at the foot of the cross, and we can pray. I believe that's a landmark that we need to keep. Preaching the Word of God is a landmark. You know, when I'm taking a trip and I'm going somewhere I've never been before, you know, on the way I watch the signs on the road. I look to see if I'm going the right way so that I'll know that I'm not going the wrong way. And I'll tell you tonight, we need to look at the road signs. Because that's a mark. That's shows us the way that we need to go. I want to read something here about the landmark, and I got this out of a Bible dictionary. And it says here, a mark to designate the boundary of land. It says a stone, stake, or other monument. The removal of such landmark was prohibited by the Mosaic Law. That Mosaic Law was the Law of Moses. Praise God. God had given him that law. It says here that landmarks were held sacred by other nations, and it was you could be killed if you removed somebody's landmark, and it was the property that God had given them. And you know, when they went over into Canaan land, they were given property, and they would put marks at the corner of those properties so that they would know where the person's land was at. And I think myself, probably many times, there was probably writing on these corners of the property. And it may have had the names of the people on there. We don't know. But it's quite possible. And I'll tell you what, my property, well, you know, we're all made out of earth. We're just flesh and bones, and we was made out of the dust of the earth, and we belong to God. We are God's property. And I tell you tonight, I want people to know that this property belongs to God. So I live in such a way that when people see me coming, you know, they say, well, there's something different about him. He don't talk like we do. You know, if they're worldly people, he don't say the things we say. And why ain't he drinking like we're drinking? And why does he not use the curse words that we use? And why does he dress the way he dresses? And, you know, because, I tell you, because I belong to the Lord, and this property is God's property.
Amen.
And when they see me, I want them to see Jesus. I want the world to see Jesus in me. And I can't live just any old way, but the Bible tells us to be a separate people. You know, I was thinking, you know, Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard. He wanted to take the vineyard that belonged to Naboth. In 1 Kings in, chapter 21, I want to turn there. I don't know how much time I've got. I don't know who all is called in. I don't want to.
Just go ahead. No, praise the Lord. It don't matter how long it takes, brother.
Praise God. I know there's other people probably have called in. But I'll just keep it short tonight, praise God, because I don't want to take up time that might be somebody else's, praise God. But in 1 Kings chapter 21, I want to read just a little bit here. And this is a case where a man wanted to take somebody's property. And the Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreel had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And that's what he was telling Ahab. He was saying, I'm not going to give up my vineyard. I'm not going to give it up, because, see, Naboth knew what he had been given. He had been given an inheritance. And I'll tell you what, Ahab was like the devil. He was like the devil. He was trying to steal, kill, and destroy. He wanted what the world had to offer, and he was going to get it any way that he could get it. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance. I want to know tonight, whatever God's given you, are you going to give it up? I'm asking you tonight, please. I'm a begging you, don't give up what God gave you. You know, you can sell out to the devil if you want to, but you're going to have the mark of sin upon you. You know, Cain, when he slew Abel, you know, God put a mark upon him. And, you know, now I don't know if it was a physical mark or an invisible mark, but God could see it, whether anybody else could or not. But Cain slew Abel because He was of that wicked one. And when we begin to do things that the devil wants us to do, then we're removing ourselves from the place that God put us in. And like I said, we're God's property if we've been born again. And God plants his fruits in us. And he works in us and walks and talks through us. And we are God's property. And the devil comes along and he wants to steal God's property. But Nabal said, God forbid that I sell it to thee. Praise God. Ahab in verse 4 there, chapter 21, Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth, the Jezreelite, had spoken to him. For he said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Nahab the Jezreelite, and he said, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. I'm not giving what God, I'm not trading what I got from the Lord, and trading out for what the devil's offering me tonight. And if you're saved tonight, don't trade. Don't give up what you got, because when you go back into sin, the Bible tells us that when you go back and you begin to work sin and you begin to work iniquity and you begin to follow the devil, then the devil will enter back into you, and you'll be seven times or eight times worse than what you was before. And you don't want to get in that kind of shape, praise God. So hold on to your inheritance, because we have an inheritance with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're joint heir with Jesus and heirs to the kingdom of God. And one day we're going to reign and rule with him for 1,000 years. And when that 1,000 years is over, we're going on into eternity, and we're going to live forever. And we'll never grow old and never get sick. And I tell you, forget not all his benefits, the Bible says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. I tell you, the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. So let's press on and let's follow Jesus. Let us not sell our inheritance. Don't sell out to the devil. Praise God. I'm going to turn it back to you, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful word there. So, Jens, have some more scriptures ready there. Whenever I get done there directly, well, I'll turn it back to Jens. Brother John, don't call in. I don't know where he's at, but God knows. So we just have to keep him in the prayers. And
okay.
We're going to have Tim to sing a song right now. Praise the Lord.
When I go to you,
gotta start my day with you. Sometimes we get so busy that we forget you, and then we wonder why our prayers don't seem to bear fruit. But in the good times or the bad, Lord, you're my best friend I've ever had. And when I take the time to pray, you and I can conquer whatever comes my way. When I start my day with you, Lord, there's nothing I can do. Although sometimes the tempter tries to bring me down, and when I go to you in prayer, I know you'll meet me there. I can make it through the day when I take the time to pray and to start my day with you. When I go to you in prayer, I know you'll meet me there. I can make it through the day when I take the time to pray and to start my day with you.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that song. So, 770, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Praise the Lord, Brother Yearwood. This is Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate you calling in there, brother. So just go ahead and obey the Lord.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, amen. I know we've been talking about remove not the old landmarks in Proverbs chapter 23, and amen, and enter not into the field of the fatherless, for their redeemer is mighty, he shall plead their cause with thee. You know, that old landmark, amen, was a concealed landmark. It was a landmark of eternal. The word landmark means boundary, amen. And amen, that there are boundaries in enclosed territory. Amen, there are territories that are set, amen. And the writer of Proverbs told us not to remove the boundaries, not to remove, amen, the territories that was enclosed, amen. It was set by different things. Also says in Proverbs 22 and 28, it says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. So the fathers that went before us, amen, have set a landmark, have set boundaries, amen, as they receive. Tonight, we need to know that the landmark, amen, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The landmark, that ancient landmark, that old landmark, is the Word of God, amen, and God himself, amen. There are boundaries, amen. The Word of God is not bound, but the worlds, amen, are framed by the Word of God. You know, it teaches us, I believe it's in Deuteronomy. I believe it's in Deuteronomy 19 and 14. It talks about, let me turn over there to it, hallelujah, a couple of scriptures in Deuteronomy. It talks about in Deuteronomy 19 and 14, I believe it is, hallelujah, it says, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark. In other words, there are boundaries of the neighbors, amen, which of the old time is set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. In other words, there was landmarks, there was bounds, amen, that where we had received an inheritance, a place of promise. Tonight we need to know that, amen, that we've been redeemed, amen, as it says here. Amen. It says, for the Redeemer is mighty. You know, the Scriptures teach us in Isaiah chapter 9, amen, verse 6 and 7, it talks about unto us a child is born to us, a son is given, amen, the everlasting Father, and his name shall be Mighty God, amen, Counselor, Prince of Peace, and the increase of his government there shall be no end. It talks about that in Isaiah 9 and 6 and 7. You know, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, that he had come. Their redeemer is near kinsman. They had been brought back, and here in the field of the fatherless, you know, the Scripture teaches in James, amen, that pure religion is not to oppress the widow or the fatherless. And these were orphans. These were those that were without a father. Tonight we need to know that we have only one Father, amen, amen. There's only one God and Father of all, amen. And the Scripture teaches, amen, that in, I believe it's in Job 24, amen, I think it's somewhere in verse 3, amen. Let me turn over there to it. Job chapter 24 talks about removing the landmarks coming in and taking the flock finally. I won't turn over there to it, but I believe it's Job 24, verse 3. Talks about removing the boundaries, amen, so they can come in and take the flock. You need to know, amen, tonight that the enemy, the thief has come in to remove the boundaries, remove the landmarks, amen, the boundaries, that he's come to steal the flock of God. Finally, the Bible said the kingdom of God suffer violence, and the violent taketh it by force. We have an inheritance tonight, just like it says over in Deuteronomy, that is uncorruptible, undefiled, amen, amen. We've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Tonight there's landmarks. I'm reminded, amen, I believe, amen, in the book of Daniel. It talks about Daniel chapter 6, amen. You know, here in America, amen, there's some landmarks, amen. We look into those landmarks. But actually, what it's talking about in Proverbs, it's talking about not only talking about physically removing the landmark. Many landmarks are still there, but removing ourselves from the landmarks, removing ourselves from the boundaries of the Word of God, removing ourselves from the landmark. You know, the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, amen, as he went out and left the father's house, amen, and spent all that he had, the inheritance, amen, that the father had given him with riotous living, amen, and he came to himself, the Bible speaks of, Luke chapter 15, amen. When he came to himself, he said, even the servants of my father's house have more than enough bread to spare. Amen. And here he was wasted for hunger. Amen. And tonight we need to know, amen, when he came to himself, he said, I will rise and go back to my father's house. Amen. The father's house tonight. Amen. The church of the living God. I'm not talking about the building, but I'm talking about the place where we're being called out. That's that old landmark. Amen. That we need to come back. You need to be looking for the father's house. The Father is a landmark. He's a boundary, amen, that we're looking for. When that prodigal son, amen, was coming, he was looking for the Father's house. He was looking for the Father. There are those underneath, amen, the sound of my voice. Here in the coastal cities in America, we have many landmarks. We have landmarks, amen, that a lot of times, a lot of places along the coast, we have lighthouses, amen. Years ago, we used to sing the song, The Lighthouse, amen. And Jesus Christ, amen, was a type and shadow of lighthouse, that light that shined in the darkness, shined in the midst of the storm, shined when the fog came in, amen. And these lights were used. These were landmarks that would bring, amen, those that were in ships, amen, to the shore, amen. But now we've got sonar and radar and global positioning satellites. We've got all these things to bring us in. But tonight you need to know, amen, that only one thing that can bring you in tonight safely to the shore of life is the Word of God, the landmark, that great landmark, the Lord Jesus Christ in his word, amen. But there are those that are going in to the fields of the fatherless. I'm talking about those that don't know God the Father tonight, amen, oppressing you. But you've got a Redeemer tonight. It's the Redeemer, a near kinsman, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Because when the world, amen, when the enemy, and we've been instructed, we've got a boundary. Every word of God is a landmark that we must go by, and a boundary. The Bible says, amen, hallelujah, over there in Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 12, it was talking about, amen, hallelujah, that he was talking about there in the latter part of Hebrews chapter 12, amen, and verse 24, he said, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, through the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 5, I believe it was, amen, somewhere around verse 29, amen, they were strictly, they were told again and again not to speak in the name of Jesus. They were told, amen, amen, hallelujah. And he said, in verse 29, I believe it is in Acts chapter 5, Peter said that we ought to obey God rather than man. You need to know tonight that the world is trying to remove the landmarks of God. You need to know tonight that the world is removing and taking things out of the boundaries, amen, that God has set. And the Bible says, amen, he says, see that you, for if they escape not who refuse him that speaketh on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Amen. That voice is speaking from heaven. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is speaking from heaven. Verse 26, his voice didn't shift the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. The word of God, amen, is shaking heaven and earth tonight, church. Amen. He's moving heaven and earth. Bible says, I believe it's in Revelation 16:4, when they open up, amen, and that cataclysm, amen, is somewhere around the sixth seal, I believe it is. I believe it's, or it might be Revelation 4:16, excuse me. Hallelujah. One of those two, I think it's Revelation 4:16, and it might be 16:4. Both of them are good scriptures. Go ahead and turn to them and read them anyhow. But the Bible says, hallelujah, amen, that as they come there, amen, hallelujah, that the mountains and the islands shall be moved because he'll open up heaven, amen. But tonight we're looking for things that cannot be moved. A righteous man cannot be moved. The landmarks of God, Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. When Jesus, when the God the Father laid in Zion, according to the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 28, he said, I lay in Zion a cornerstone. That was a landmark that would not be moved. We used to sing a song years ago, I shall not be moved. Church tonight, amen, the word of God cannot be moved. It cannot be changed. It cannot be altered. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm reminded, amen, in the time, amen, in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6, when people came, amen, and they wanted to get against this man who had excellent spirit, one that they wanted to find occasion to him, because the Bible says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 4, that they found no fault in him, for a message that he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. And we need to know tonight, amen, that these men were looking for an occasion. You need to know tonight that the world, your enemy, is looking for an occasion to remove the landmark, to remove the thing, to remove your faith, to remove, amen, your peace, to remove your joy, amen, the boundaries that you incorporated you in as believers, surrounded by the word of God, amen, hallelujah. And you know, I know I said to go to Daniel chapter 6, but I want to finish this a little bit here over in Hebrews chapter 12, and then we'll go to Daniel chapter 6 real quick. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, hallelujah, that he spoke from heaven, amen, hallelujah, and let me turn back over there, amen. He said, and this word, verse 27, just more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. And those things that are shaken, those things that are removable, those things that are not steadfast. The Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord. His children, you are, amen, are steadfast. You are a landmark tonight. You are a boundary of the word of God, amen. He has set you in a place. He told Moses, he said, there's that place by me. He put him as a landmark, amen, in the cleft of the rock, amen. He's put you right where you're at. You need to know that you are landmarks that are unmovable. God has put you in certain positions, certain ministries, certain cities, certain jobs, amen. You are landmarks that is not to be moved. I'm not talking about, amen, coming. You have to understand tonight, amen, the landmark. We remove ourselves from landmarks, amen. My house is a landmark, and I'm looking for, amen, many times when I get on, I'm looking for that landmark. But, amen, I can remove that landmark away. Tonight, amen, there are some of you underneath the sound of my voice, amen, you've removed the landmark. You've removed Jesus out of your life. You've removed the word of God out of your life. Not because he didn't go anywhere, but you went somewhere. You walked away from the word of God. You walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ. You removed yourself. That's what the, actually in the original Hebrew, it means to depart, amen, from the landmark. It's not necessarily even taking the landmark out, but you taking yourself away from the landmark. Church, tonight, you need to come back to the landmark. You need to come back to the boundary, amen, and the word of God, where God, amen, has come. And the Bible says, now going, let's finish that. He said in verse the shaking of this thing which cannot be shaken may remain. In other words, the landmarks cannot, will remain. They won't be shaken. all the things that God has set church for cannot be shaken by man, cannot be removed by man. Wherefore, we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Church, tonight, we've got the kingdom of God, we've got the kingdom of heaven, and it can't be moved. It can't be removed. The enemy cannot remove, amen. We serve a king, we serve a God that can't be moved tonight. We serve a landmark tonight that cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God accordingly, acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. But amen, going back over to Daniel chapter 6, we find, amen, that in Daniel chapter 6, that it says that the presidents and the princes there in verse 6 of Daniel chapter 6 assembled themselves together and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the, verse 7, and all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statue and to make a firm decree. Oh, it can't be moved. But I'm going to tell you something. It was shaken. This decree that couldn't be changed. This petition, amen, when these men came against the anointed of God, the Bible says, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. And the Bible says, of any god or any man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. In other words, they had put, amen, amen, unto that all power, unto King Darius. All things were to be sought of him. You were not to seek anything, amen, except for King Darius. He said, now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing that be not changed. Oh, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, verse 10, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed. Oh, hallelujah. And gave thanks before his God, and he did as he did aforetime. Hallelujah. Petition to the world. They tried to remove the landmark, his landmark of prayer. They tried to remove his boundary where three times a day, at third hour, sixth hour, ninth hour. But when he knew the writing was signed, the decree did not change Daniel's relationship. That landmark was still there. That prayer was still there. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 7, pray without ceasing. The Bible says in James chapter 5, amen, James chapter 5 says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Confess your fervent prayer of a righteous man, availeth much. That's a landmark. That's a landmark coming from God. All the words that you have are boundaries given to God. Amen. They were to pray. Amen. And as he prayed, he opened up. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning this king's decree. I shall not sign the decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save to thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. In other words, whosoever asks anybody but you, going to be thrown into the den of lions. The king answered and said, this thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not, which changed not. All the statutes, the ordinances of man, they had put it in the law. It couldn't be changed. Darius couldn't change it. Nobody could change it, but there was a change. Oh, hallelujah, the Bible says, ye sons of Jacob, you are not consumed. I read to you that God is consuming fire. Then answered and said before the king, verse 13, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the degree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. It wasn't that he didn't disregard, amen, Darius. But you know what? He had a boundary. He had a landmark. He had a landmark. He had a time, amen, to pray to his heavenly Father. He had been set in him. Here was a man of captivity who had been promoted, amen, to president above all others. And these men saw an occasion because they were jealous and they were envious, amen. Hallelujah. They knew they could only get to him through his God. There was no other way, church, tonight. And tonight, you need to know, the enemy's going to try to remove the landmarks of your God out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy's going to try to trespass and come and move that which has been steadfast in your life, that which has been sound in your life. That which will not be moved, amen. All heaven and earth, amen. Even by the decrees, even by the laws, amen. But the Bible says in Romans, amen, that every power is subject to the higher power. Oh, there's a name above every name tonight, church, and that name is Jesus. Said then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Oh, what did it say of them, Proverbs? Oh, their Redeemer is mighty. Oh, the Redeemer, his near kinsman of Daniel, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father was coming. The mighty God was coming to deliver Daniel, even though men had signed, even though men had tried to remove the landmarks, even though men had tried to get him not to pray any longer. Oh, but Daniel, when he knew the writing, he still continued, because in his own heart, in his own life, he had not removed the landmark. The landmark's still there. Church tonight, the landmark's still there when you're going through the storm. Many times when you come, like I said, to the coastal cities, you're coming up into that shore of life, amen, and you can't see that lighthouse is shining bright. That light of the world is shining bright. It's a city set upon a hill, amen. Those of you that are truck drivers, those of you that have been traveling on the road, you are always looking for a destination. You're always looking for a landmark to get to your destination. I'm telling you tonight, there's a landmark, and it's the King's Highway tonight. I'm telling you that landmark. There's mile markers. Come on, church. I'm talking about a resting place wherein the weary is to rest. Amen. The pull in here, he said, come unto me, I'll give you a landmark. Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a landmark. That's a rest stop. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Hallelujah. Heart. Amen. And so as it comes, hallelujah, find, amen, hallelujah, that we find that, hallelujah, as we come, that he was brought there, and the king commanded that Daniel be brought unto him. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet. Sealed with a ring, sealed with a signet. It was signed that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. The enemy done everything he could. Put him in a den. Put him in a den with lions. Put him in a den with hungry lions. Those of you, but by your faith, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, he shuts the mouth of lions. Come on, church. You serve the Lion of Judah tonight. You serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He had come. Amen. You have to understand, the king, when he went in there and prayed and opened the windows to Jerusalem, oh, he was before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Church tonight, then the Bible said that the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Oh, King Darius had a sleepless night. Oh, hallelujah. But then the king rose up very early and went in haste to the den of the lion. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, servant is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions. You see, the decree, the ordinance of the Medes and the Persians didn't change, that he still served the God, the living God. He served him continually. When the writings were there, when the things came back, Daniel didn't remove the landmark. He didn't remove the landmark that was in his life. He still was in the boundary. He didn't cross over the line. Church tonight, the enemy's trying to get you to cross over the line. But God has set boundaries. God has set landmarks. He's the old ancient landmark that the Father set. He is the old landmark. That's why he said, don't remove it. Don't remove the boundary. To church tonight, man, you have the boundary. That boundary is the Word of God. That boundary, that landmark that's not to be removed out of your life, don't go away from it. Don't walk away from it. Come to the familiar landmark. There are those of you that are traveling, you're traveling on life's journey. You've been wandering. You've been wandering to and fro. You've been restless. You've been going up and down like Satan. You've been going up like those restless spirits that have been cast out of the house, and they wandered, and they've been coming back. But tonight, church, you don't have to wander anymore. You don't have to be the vagabond Jew like Cain. Tonight, there's a rest. Where is the rest? The Father's house is right there inside. That old landmark, just come back to the Father. Come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn back. Amen. Amen. There are signs. There are signs to bring you. There are directions tonight. Amen. He said, if you acknowledge me in all thy ways, and I will direct thy path. There's a way back home tonight, church. There's a way back to that old landmark that will never be removed. When the world's on fire, that landmark will still be stayed. When the things are going and the mountains and the islands, according to the book of Revelation, are being removed, the landmark will still stand tonight. But tonight, is that landmark still in your life? Is that landmark the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that landmark the Word of God? Darius went through it. And you know what? He was put in Daniel's. They sealed it. He put him in there. And you know what? Oh, he said, King, live forever. My God hath seen his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, and that they had not hurt me for as much as before him innocency was found in me. He was innocent. Oh, what did Judas say? He tried to remove the landmark, tried to take it out. They tried to remove the landmark. The Pharisees, the high priest, they sought to destroy the heir. They sought to destroy the landmark, to remove it. That cheap cornerstone, rejected by the master builders, put out there. We don't need this landmark. We don't need this cornerstone in our church. We don't need that in our beliefs, in our relationship. Church, you can't live without him. You can't build, you can't have a church without him. Tonight, the world has tried. The world has signed petitions. The world has signed statues. These are men's statues. It will not be changed. Amen. Tonight, remove not the old landmark from your heart, but come back to the old alignment, which is familiar. God bless you. Go ahead, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Brother John. You've done a wonderful job there and brought some wonderful word there. 937-367. Come here and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Brother Yearwood, that's my mom. I think she's listening in tonight.
Oh, okay. Okay, appreciate it then. Okay, we'll let Tim sing a song here then. Praise the Lord.
Found myself at a crossroads. I knew the time was right. For God's Holy Spirit spoke to my heart that night. He showed me my lost condition. I bowed in full contrition. And now I'm in a new position. Since I've made up my mind, I've made up my mind. No matter what others say, I will follow Christ and walk in his ways. Though the battle gets hard and the road gets steep, that's okay. I've set my heart on becoming like Christ, dying with him and raised to new life. All the things of this world I'm leaving behind, 'cause I've made up my mind. Trouble came running to me, so I had to make a choice. Would I run or take a stand against this evil ploy? And after all God did for me, and Jesus' blood that set me free, I chose to walk in liberty, and I've made up my mind. I've made up my mind, no matter what others say, I will follow Christ and walk in his ways. Though the battle gets hard and the road gets steep, that's okay. I set my heart on becoming like Christ, dying with him and raised to new life. All the things of this world I'm leaving behind, 'cause I've made up my mind. All the things of this world I'm leaving behind, 'cause I've made up my mind.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful song there. So we got several prayer requests here and want to turn in. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be back on Blog Talk Radio tonight. Just trying to lift up the name of Jesus, and we just give God the praise for all that he's been doing for us this week and for what he's going to continue to do. We got a lot of urgent prayer requests here. My nephew Matthew still needs our prayers. He was in a accident on his job last week and cut his arm with a skill saw. He cut the main artery in his arm and the tendon cut them in two, and his muscles in his arm are badly damaged. And Matthew claims to be an atheist, so let's remember him in prayer. He really needs God. Pray for the people that get on Facebook and claim that they're Christians and they put stuff on there that's contrary to God's word and things that ain't godly. So let's remember them. They need prayer tonight. Continue to pray for this computer because it keeps messing up on us. And Gladys Dittmer says that she's sorry she couldn't be with us tonight, but she had a doctor's appointment, and she was caught in Lexington in traffic, and she had an unspoken request regarding a spiritual gift. Excuse me. And she says, pray for John Lovelace that's got cancer, and Mark DeMolis, Delmas. And let's remember a lady that by the name of Christine Roach. She fell while getting out of her car on Saturday, and she didn't know that the car wasn't in park, and she ran over, crushing her vertebrae and broke some of her ribs, and she was airlifted to Erlanger Hospital, and she is or will be 86 years old. So let's remember this little lady. And Keith Green has cancer, and I think he also needs salvation. Brother Kevin Coley is out of surgery, and everything went okay, and they say they praise the Lord for it. And a lady at our church by the name of Wilma is having heart problems. And please pray for Lawrence Odell. He's another brother that goes to our church, elderly man. His lawnmower rolled over him today, and he was taken to the UT Hospital, and he's in the trauma unit. So let's remember him. Must have cut him up pretty bad. We don't really know. A brother that is in India says, pray for the poor people that he ministers to, and also remember him in your prayers. And Carolyn Ashley has been having bad pains in her side, and she's been to three doctors, and they can't figure out what's wrong with her. So they gave her some kind of medicine and told her to come to go to another doctor tomorrow. So let's pray for Carolyn that God will heal her. And her mother, Glenna Talent, is really sick right now, so let's remember her. Lady at our church, Jessie, needs strength. She's going through a lot. Her daughter has stage 4 cancer, and she just keeps getting worse. But we know the healer, and Rick needs deliverance and salvation. That's my nephew. He needs deliverance from alcohol, and he needs God to intervene on his marriage. And my brother Kim, he's having surgery on June the 19th on one eye, and then 3 weeks later he'll be having another eye operated on, and then he'll be having a hernia operation. So we're going to go up and stay a couple days with him, try to help him out. And Kim also needs salvation. My niece Brenda Moses needs our prayers. She went to UT last week to see if she was a candidate for a kidney. She hasn't found out nothing yet, but for a kidney transplant. But her daughter was a match for her, so let's remember her. She also has leukemia. Pastor Saeed still needs a miracle from God. They put him back in the Iranian prison. He was, they had taken him out and put him in the hospital, but we got word that they've put him back in that prison, but before they put him back in the prison, they beat him up again. So he's really needing our prayers, and he's needing to be freed to come back to the United States. He's got two small children and a wife here waiting on him. And remember the cops in Denver, Colorado, that was made to go to the mosque and forced to worship with Muslims? Let's remember that one. And Sally McDonald said to continue to pray for her sister, Martha, who has leukemia, and pray for Reba and her family. Reba has a lot of sick family members, and Reba certainly needs our prayers for what she's going through with. So just remember that.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. We just, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We've got somebody knocking on our door here, so I'm going to let Tim sing a song, and I'm going to praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Does anybody else have a prayer request while Tim's getting ready to sing?
Yeah, remember, Clinton and I have a sister-in-law. Her name's Pam Green, and her platelet counts are very low, and they're talking about some kind of a transfusion. Remember her. She's really sick.
Okay. And would you have any more, Joanna?
Just remember our church. God's really moving in it, and it's a wonderful place to be. Just a great bunch of people. Just remember them and their lost loved ones. One of the members of the church, I can't say who she is, her daughter had cut her wrist, both wrists. She's in her 40s. She needs salvation. And drugs, I tell you, is really getting a hold of some people. And I just pray that lady will get deliverance and get saved. And it's her mother goes to our church.
You got the girl's first name?
Sheila.
Sheila, okay.
Yes.
Okay, does anybody else on here have a prayer request?
I do.
Okay.
This is Sister Robin. My grandson got up this morning, and he's been vomiting and with diarrhea all day long. And he's 6 years old. We took him to the doctor. He's got gastrointestinal. They said it would go away in a couple of days. But
okay.
At the same time, it's very contagious, and Grandma's been keeping him, and I don't want to be out of church. But at the same time, I don't want to go in there and, you know, be a carrier to anybody else that's in the church.
Yeah, we're just going to pray that you don't get it. Okay, do you have any more?
No, that's it. Thank you so much.
Okay. Does anybody else have one? I guess not.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate you waiting on me there. Had some people knocking on the door wanting to invite me to church, and I told them I was right in the middle of a broadcast, and so they apologized and they left. So anyway, they're good people. They're not the ones that usually run around and knock on doors. They've got a good church over here that they attend. So anyway, are you going to sing? Okay, I guess Tim's going to sing a song here then. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Just worship with him there.
Gave me
on him now. Curse the Lord and die, she said, Job. Curse the Lord and die. He said, no, I'll not turn my back on him now. My vows are made for good or bad. He's been the best friend that I ever had, and I'll not turn my back on him now. I'll not turn my back on him now. He's given to me everything I have. He gave me my first breath. I'll give him my last. I'll not turn my back on him now. Bless the name of the Lord. Friends and family, houses and land, God holds all things in his hands. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'll not turn my back on him now. He's given to me everything I have.
Song there. We're speaking tonight about the old landmark. You know, a lot of places today, the landmark has been moved. And, you know, I was thinking, as some of them done mentioned here, that we are the land of God. And, you know, praise God, if we are the land of God, you know, we can get out of bounds sometimes and get out of the boundary. You know, if we get out the spire where God has put us and get out into the touching and a little bit of the sin, then we've moved the old landmark. And, you know, it's time that we come back and seek out the old landmark and walk. The Bible said to walk therein when we find the old path, walk therein. And, you know, it's time that God's children start seeking out something. I'm going to let Sister Betty read some here. We're going to read in Proverbs, starting in 23 there, in verse 9 through 11.
Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. For their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. I want us to look right here. You know, a lot of our churches today have done tucked the altars out of the land, out of the church. And God spoke about altars all the way through the Bible. All the prophets, they went to altars, and they made intercession prayer to God by the altars. And, you know, that's been taken out a lot of the churches. And prayer has been taken out a lot of the churches, and God has been removed from the schoolhouses and from the courthouses, and salvation has been moved out. And you know, I praise God, they've been taken out the landmark and the wholeness have been taken out, and the schools, the prayer's been taken out of the schools. And I'm telling you something today. It's time that we, the children of God, get back to the landmark. It's time that we seek out the old paths and walk therein. You know, we move the boundary of God's word. I tell you what, there's so many today, they're even taking the blood out of some of the Bibles. They took the blood out of some of the old-timey songs. They don't want to nothing about the blood. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to take the blood to get us in. We need to seek out the old path and walk therein. I tell you, it's time that we forget about moving out of our boundary. God said them that he called, he qualified them. And he gave us a boundary to work in. He gave us a place that we're supposed to stay in. We're supposed to stand in wholeness and believe wholeness, praise God. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about the living wholeness of God's living. We're supposed to have it down in our heart. We're supposed to be sanctified and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I remember when I was a kid growing up, the churches in this part of the country, they would have three altar calls. They'd have an altar call first for salvation. And people would come into the altar and they would pray and they'd make it right with God. Then they'd have another altar call for people to come up to get sanctified, people to come up and get a closer walk with God. Now, praise God. Then they would have another altar call for the Holy Ghost, for people to come up and seek for the Holy Ghost. We've moved them landmarks. We've took them out of our churches. It's time that we bring them back. It's time that God's children start coming back to the landmark. We've got lukewarm. And he said in Revelation that he would grow, that we'd be cold or hot than lukewarm. He said if we're lukewarm, he'd spill us out of his mouth. I'm going to tell you something today. Praise God, it's time that we come back to the old landmark. I remember, praise God, after they have all them altar calls, then they'd have an altar call for the people that was sick and that was afflicted, for people to come up and anoint them with oil, and prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if they've committed any sin, it shall be forgiven. Praise God. But today, we don't ever see that. I hardly ever see a church today praying for anybody. You don't hardly ever, we was in a church a few months back that didn't even have a Bible to read. They had something that they called the Bible, but nobody could follow them. Nobody couldn't read with them because they had some kind of a book. But praise God, I'm here to tell you tonight, it's time that churches come back to the landmark. It's time that they seek out of the old path and start walking therein. It's time that they quit moving out the boundaries and quit in bordering them, stretching them out, because God is a close walk. He is a walk tonight. My friend, there ain't but one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. There ain't but one door that we're going through, and that is Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way and the truth and the life, and no man come unto the Father but by me. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you start trying to climb up any other way, the Word said you're same as a thief and a robber, and you'll not make it in, because there ain't no thief going to walk on the streets of gold. There ain't no way, hallelujah, that people are going to make it in with sin in their life. It's time that we get back to the old landmark and quit moving them out. I tell you what, praise God, we done heard there how the people tried to move the landmark of the neighbors
I tell you what, tonight, my friend, we are the landmark. God lives in us. And if he lives in us, we've got to walk the way that he told us to walk. We've got to be holy. We've got to be dedicated. We cannot move the old landmark and still confess Jesus Christ and still say that we're going to make it to heaven. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. Tonight we need to get back in line with God's Word, the King James Version. I was talking to a man the other day on the phone, and I told him, I said, I come to a church. I said, I preach out of the King James Version. I found out he didn't, but that's all right. Praise God. I'm here to tell you tonight how they're going to have to come back and quit stretching out the borders because God has got a place and he's called us to work in a field. He said for us to work in a field, for the field was the harvest was white and it's quite ready to be harvested. We need to pray that God will send laborers out in them fields to win the lost, to tell them, my friend, you know, we need to teach them about it, the old time way, you know. Praise God, I believe that it's nothing wrong having three altar calls in the service. They used to have them. What's wrong today? People have got away. They've moved the landmark. They got it where that they're just living any old way, in every way that they want to live. That's all right. But I'm going to tell you, it's not all right. God's Word condemns sin in the flesh. And when he condemns the sin in the flesh, my friend, I'm going to tell you, if we are walking in a little bit close to the sin, if we're not careful, the next thing we know, we be in it. It's time, hallelujah, it's time that we come back to the old landmark and quit trying to move them, quit trying to separate it. Praise God, it's time that we bring the prayers back in to our courtrooms. It's time that we bring the Pledge of Allegiance back into our courtrooms. It's time that we lift up the name of Jesus. It's time that we bring them back into our schoolhouses. I tell you what, the schools have got so far away from the boundary. They've moved the old boundary. That's the reason why that we look around, and that's the reason why that we hear every few days about a shooting over here, a shooting over there, a stabbing over here, a stabbing over there. I'm telling you something. It's time that we bring back the old landmark and quit trying to change the things that God has set in order, that God set in place. I tell you what, hallelujah. I remember last week speaking about Isaac
there. For MCM.
Elijah.
The $504
praise
one,
God.
I think it's Liz.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
I'm
hallelujah.
Sorry,
you
I
know,
don't.
We took,
I just know which one
last
it is
week
in the praise.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise
okay,
the Lord.
You.
Hallelujah. We took
last
week we were
MCM
speaking about.
The Cognac Coat.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm Lisa. Thank
praise
you.
God. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Praise God. We were speaking last week about Isaac and Jacob there. You know, Isaac, he was going up there, and God told him where to take Isaac up there and offer him up on the mountain. And he took him
Praise God, and he made the altar, huh? And he tied him up, huh? And he laid him on that altar. Every time he'd say, Father, we've got the fire, we've got the wood, but where's the sacrifice? Praise God, he took him up there. He laid him on the altar, and he would have took his life, but he had enough faith in God. He kept saying, God will repair a lamb or a sacrifice. He will make the sacrifice for us. But praise God, he looked over behind him when the angel hollered at him and told him to do thyself no harm. He looked over there in the hedges, and he seen a ram caught over there. Praise God. And that was the sacrifice. And I'm here to tell you today, we need to bring the altars back into the house. We need to bring them back, hallelujah, where that God can use them, where that God can get a hold of them. I tell you what we need, to get the sacrifice, hallelujah, back on the altars. We need to get ourselves back on the altars for the sacrifice that would be pleasing unto God. I tell you what, God is pleased with the altars, but a lot of our churches have moved them out. A lot of our churches have moved a lot of things out that God's not pleased with. We need to come back. We're speaking tonight about remove not the old landmark. I tell you what, we can look through the Word of God. We can find several landmarks that God has put there for us. And we need to use them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
What I did was go on to the MCM Worldwide and to find out where MCM, what stores had it, and your store was the one.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
For your displays, they don't have any out there, or is it too big of a store, too much to look through, or? Okay. I would probably need to come see.
Ma'am?
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Have you got something to say? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We've had an interruption there, so praise God. I don't understand that. It's just been this has been one more service tonight. Satan has really been trying to fight. But I know one thing. Praise God. God is greater than us, and God is greatest in us. And praise the Lord. We're just going to go on. We're going to worship the Lord anyway. Praise God. I tell you what, it's God's time, and this is God is going to move. I tell you what, it's time. Praise the Lord that people come back to the landmark and quit trying to move the old landmark. Hallelujah. It's time, praise God, that God will move in this time, in this hour. I'm telling you what, God is going to move for his people if we'll just only trust him, if we'll only look to him. Hallelujah. God is a God that will touch us. He will move us, hallelujah, up closer to him. I praise God tonight for this. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I tell you what, God is still God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Green, praise the Lord. Brother
praise
Green.
The Lord, Brother Yearwood. We're here.
Go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Praise God. You know, I was thinking, Brother Yearwood, in Revelations here, it says, chapter 2, and to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience and
for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So, praise the Lord, when we get saved, we fall at the foot of Jesus and we repent of our sins. And like I said earlier, that zeal that you get when you're first saved. And, you know, it ain't by our works. I mean, we're supposed to have works, because there's also awards in heaven that we'll get when we get over yonder. And the Bible says that, you know, he that winneth souls is wise. But, you know, he said not to rejoice because you have power over the devils and to cast them out, but to rejoice because your name is written there in the Lamb's Book of Life. So it sounds like the Church of Ephesus has, you know, they're doing their own works, they're doing their own thing, and they had forgotten where they come from. I don't want to forget, Brother Yearwood, where I come from. I never want to forget, you know, where I was in sin, and I can never do enough work to ever pay back Jesus. But I want to work, though, while it is day, because night cometh when no man can work. But I never want to forget the plan of salvation, and how every day I need to take up my cross daily, and I need to carry that cross, and I need to go back to the altar and repent of my sins. You know, the priest, he was a priest, but before he would get to go into the Holy of Holies, he had to go through the door. He had to go through the brazen altar. He had to go to the brazen altar and hold on to the horns of the altar. He had to go on in to the altar of incense. And he had to, you know, he had to make sure when he stopped at the Laban that he washed his hands and his face. Praise the Lord. He was still a priest. Praise God. But he had to be clean before he could go into that Holy of Holies. And we have to stay clean. And remember, if we fail, we have an advocate with the Father. Praise God. You know, it's not a ticket to sin because we have an advocate with the Father. But we're people. We're human beings. And we must keep ourselves clean from head to toe, and always go back to the landmark where we once started from.
Amen.
And repent. Praise God. Pray over our food. He said, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. We don't know what's coming on the land today. We don't know what's being put in our food. We don't know the preservatives and all the things, all the great nutrients for our body is being taken out. And, you know, but he said, if we drank any deadly thing, it would not hurt us. But, you know, Jesus said it is finished at the cross. It is finished. He done his part. And now when we pick up the cross and we've accepted Jesus' pardon, wages of sin is death, praise God,
well,
the gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is wonderful. He is so good. And I'm going to turn this back to you, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that there, Sister Green. 423?
Hey, Brother Yearwood.
Hey,
I guess that's me. I'm 423. I don't know where anybody else on there or not. Told I call, I just about waited too long. I just really forgot about it. But I appreciate you putting my brother on there, because prayer works. And I was in a restaurant today, and this man and his little girl was in there. Before they eat, he prayed. I went to him and told him. I said, a lot of people don't believe in it, but I said, prayer works. He said, you better believe.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we pray. God hears our prayers. May not answer the way we want him to answer it, but he'll answer his way, and it'll be the best way. And I appreciate
Amen.
You putting him on there, putting me on there, because I know it works. I know that God's people call on him. He sends an answer some way, somehow, to us. And appreciate it. Appreciate all my Christian brothers and sisters. Amen.
Amen.
I couldn't make it without them. And I know that they mean I pray for all of my brothers and sisters in Christ at night, too, before I go to bed. And I know that it works. I know my God hears. He's got an ear to hear. A lot of people's worshiping other things, but they have one God to worship, and that's God Almighty. And
Amen.
He made everything. He made all these idols that they worship. He made the stone idol, the wooden idol, the brass idol, whatever they worship. And some people worship the moon, and God made that. And, you know, he's an almighty God, all-knowing God, and an all-prayer-answering God. And I praise God for him. Praise God for you, Brother Ewan. Appreciate
Amen.
You.
We appreciate you, too, Brother Bobby.
Well, praise. Just remember us all in prayer. We pray for you, and I know that God honor your work. You'll be rewarded for it. A lot of times we think we're not, but God's on the throne, and he'll bless us for what we do. And what we do, he put it down. He'll
Amen.
Count it. And I thank the Lord for it. You know, a lot of times we have to not do things that we're not able to do, but God understands that. And when Moses got where he couldn't work, couldn't do, well, God called him on. I believe he'll do it the same way. We just got to keep on, keeping on, keeping on. No quitting place, no quitting point. I have to give up a lot of things, but that's life. We're born to grow old. Today we're born, we start growing old. And,
Amen.
We get, you know, get feeble. And, you know, I believe Jesus told Peter, wasn't it, that people would help him around in the old age and things. And,
Amen.
You know, he helps us and makes way for us. And I got a neighbor now, Brother Yearwood, that she called my wife a while ago. She was tore up so bad that she couldn't drive. And they hauled her daughter into the hospital, overdose. So you remember that family. God knows them. And I'm not calling no names, but God knows all about them and knows where they're at. And God can answer prayer for what seems impossible with us. They seem like the girl is on a downward spiral and got no help. But God's in charge. And
Amen.
God can save that girl. She overdosed, and she's pretty bad shape, and her mother's pretty bad shape. Reba had to take her over to the hospital on account of she just tore up so bad she couldn't drive. And so both of them needs prayer, and just pray that God would save the girl and touch the lady and get her on the right road and get the daughter on the right road. She
Amen.
Lost one daughter, lost her husband, and she's had a pretty, you know, pretty bad life, and she needs a touch, and God can touch her.
Amen.
So just remember that. If I get off here that time, I didn't mean to stay on this long. So God bless you, and we'll talk at you later, Brother Edward.
Okay, God bless you, Brother Bobby. Glad you called in there. We got a real good brother friend that's going to be we need to make an announcement for here. And all you people up there around where this area's at, well, be with him.
Brother Jack Coe on June the 8th is going to be at Cornerstone Full Gospel Church, 4509 Salt Creek Drive, Duncan Falls, Ohio. And if you have any questions about that, here's the phone number, 740-674-5062. He'll be there on Sunday morning, starting at 10:30. He'll be there Sunday night at 6:30
p.m. Hi, good afternoon. May I speak with Emily, I think is her name? Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. I tell you what, since we've had so much interference tonight with this...
No,
I think we just need to go back with it again next week and just pray. And let's pray for the needs and pray for the requests right now that we've that we've got, that we've done turned in here this evening. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father,
God,
Lord Jesus, we come in agreement
Lord,
right
in
now, Father.
God,
Lord, everyone
see the hindrance
Lord,
coming across the airway, Lord. God, we ask that you block
Lord,
that, Lord, and you
Father,
let this
Lord,
stop.
That you
name
would just touch, and God, that
let it
you
be
touch
dear
every
God,
request,
and
Father,
the world,
Lord, that you would touch,
someone
Lord, everyone
get saved, Lord, God.
Lord,
in the name of Jesus,
Lord,
Lord,
Father, we just ask, Lord,
to save,
sanctify, and
fill,
Lord, with the Holy Ghost. And God, we just ask, Lord, that you touch them, Father, that's got cancer. Lord, we speak healing to them, God. And Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. And Father, Lord, that lady, God, that is overdosed and drugged right now, Father, we speak salvation to that soul. Lord, we just ask you, God, that you will rest that soul right now. Lord, that you will save her, sanctify her, fill her with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, give her a new walk. Lord, we give you the praise and the honor for it.
Save that remnant lost, dear God, that is back to wood. Lord Jesus, let him go back to the landmark, dear God. And remember, dear Lord, their first works all over again. Lord, that you will receive him with open arms, dear God. Just like the Father's Son come back to the Father's house.
Lord,
you'll receive him back. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, dear God. Thank you, Lord, for our fields, dear Lord. The landmarks, dear God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Boundaries, dear God, that you've given us, that we don't go out of the boundaries, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Pray.
They will save their souls and embrace the promises of God.
Pray.
Thank
you in the name of God.
Thank
you,
Jesus.
Thank the Lord for doing it.
Brother Green, come in and tell us about your church, everything. We still got 3 minutes.
Yeah, we,
6898.
We're going to a church over at the corner of Route 4 and Thomas Road. It's called Full Gospel Outreach, and it's just north of Middletown on Route 4. And I tell you, if you're listening in, you're close to around that area, we'd like for you to come out. And we have Wednesday night at 7, and we have Sunday morning at 10, and Sunday night at, what is it, 6:30?
7.
7 at on Sunday night, and I believe I'm going to be preaching there tomorrow night, so y'all pray for me out there, too, that God will give me a good message. I invited some people, and they're at Walmart today, and they talked like they was coming, and so I don't know if they're saved or not, but, you know, we need to get this salvation message out, that they would find grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so,
amen.
I'll turn it back to you, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate it. So go ahead and give our
If you're in the Madisonville area or surrounding area, we invite you out to the Madisonville Church of God, 3895 New Highway 68 in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, we've got 2 minutes left, so Brother Bobby?
Yes, sir.
Tell us where you're going to church at, sir.
Well, I go, well, I pastored for 6 years of a Sunday morning, and I go to my friend's church Sunday night. He's a mortician undertaker. He's a preacher, and he said he could raise you up or let you down, either one. And he's
Amen.
A good preacher, good godly man, and his church is called the House of Prayer. So I go up there on Sunday night and back him and Fred Watkins. They're two good godly men. And just remember that church and pray for them that they'll win souls. And last Sunday night, now they're not many been saved, but last Sunday night there was a young man saved. And I praise God for him and just pray for him that God would help him, touch him, and get him in a Bible-believing church somewhere. And that he'd grow in the Lord. And you know, these young converts, no matter how old they are, sir, the young in Christ, while they're young, they need our prayers. And I appreciate all the Christians and appreciate that prayer, brother. And I know God heard it, and I know God's answering prayer right now throughout the world where this program's going. People have been healed, saved, and touched. And oh, I praise God for it. I get excited when I talk about my Lord because he does so much for me. Amen. There ain't nothing like being an old-fashioned Christian. Amen. And I'd rather be an old-timey Christian than anything I know. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, too, Brother Bobby. We appreciate you. We appreciate all the call-ins here. So we got about 39 seconds left. So we'll just say bye to everybody.
I just received a call from the office. This is Paulette.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
God bless.
Who
God
bless.
Is that?
I don't know. God bless
you. I'm good, and you?
Hello?